Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And we have a special guest this week, family, from the Brown Liquor Report, Miss Jazz Hands herself.
Jazz Hands.
Hey, my falsetto is not running today, bro.
I didn't know you had a voice in you. I just thought you played instruments.
Nah, I've been drinking water, so I'm decent today.
So you like a Kirk Franklin. You can kind of
lead. I'll tell people
from
what's
the piano
going on,
bench.
What's coming up next.
Someone had a question.
So today we are here to ruin Vacation Bible School for you and your children.
LOL.
Actually, no, that's not what we're doing. But we are discussing Vacation Bible School.
It is
that season. It's that time of year where the children are educated and fed cookies and juice.
Red drink.
Yep.
It's red.
Red drink.
Light skin cookies that everyone got to get.
That you put on your finger that look like flowers.
They so cheap, though. It's like 1,000 cookies asleep, 1,000 cookies for 25 cents.
The only reason why the kids eat is because they starve.
Yeah. All right, so Vacation Bible School. Well, first of all, welcome back to the show, Jazz.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. OMG.
Yeah, you should have been back before now, but you... I know
you didn't want to ask me about my faith story because you was like, she ain't got one.
You want to do that?
She don't have a faith story.
You got a faith story.
She's a heathen.
Shut up.
She's a heathen just here to air out her gripes.
Right. No. That's me. Now, what is your deal?
I don't know. I mentioned this to Mike about just, you know, Vacation Bible School and just some preliminary thoughts. Uh-huh. Now I thought it would make for maybe an interesting conversation.
Well, children are in Vacation Bible School now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's figure out what's going on. Because I haven't been to Vacation Bible School. Well, actually, that's not true. I've actually been to, like, maybe in the last 3 years, 2 to 3 years, I've been to a couple.
For what?
Really?
Yeah, because now.
For whom?
Now, for my children. I have children.
I was like, are you
It wasn't
going?
For me. It wasn't an adult Vacation Bible School. It was your kids come. We not watching your kids all this time by ourselves. You need to show up.
Oh, that's a racket right there. That's not real Vacation Bible School if they not watching your children.
It's supposed to be vacation for us.
Exactly.
But
what is that about?
So anyway, I went and it was actually, we'll talk about this. So,
okay, cool.
Right, because you need to call them out because I don't need to send Jelly there.
Oh yeah, you can't send her there. You have to take her there.
Okay, you have to accompany.
Right. I don't chaperone Vacation Bible School.
What is this? I went by myself. You finna go by yourself.
Right.
All right. So, and trying to get folks a handle on how this all started in Vacation Bible School. It's not that easy of a thing, as it turns out. Vacation Bible School, the history is a little unclear.
Dun,
so,
dun, dun.
Depending on what sources you use, we're starting in 1877 in Canada.
Okay.
Someone has it starting in 1894 in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Then it hops over.
It hops over to New York in 1898.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's like hip-hop. Let New York claim
LOL.
It.
LOL.
So New York got it now. Well, Canada might have something to say about it.
I appreciate the New York version because they say they were meeting at a beer garden or like some type of bar. That they were able to rent out. It was like a open space. Like a, I don't want to say bar in the traditional sense or what we think about now, but probably just like some type of drinking house. They had a table and chairs.
Okay.
Clear out the drunkards. And then they had like folks coming in from the local seminary to teach the class. Union.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Union Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm.
To come in and teach the classes. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the start of the formal idea around like Christian education, like within the church.
Well, so the initial idea, the concept was there isn't enough time in Sunday school to teach these children what we want them to know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have an expanded version of that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't,
or an intensive version.
Right. It wasn't Vacation Bible School as in the kids out on summer vacation. And it was just an elongated version of Sunday school.
Right.
This was primarily in Baptist traditions. Mm-hmm. So when it first started, it was a bunch of Baptist churches that were like, and this is how this makes sense. I mean, the Baptist church, the one that started saying, okay, we're going to do this, it ended up being a good program. And mm-hmm. other Baptist churches say, oh, we'd like to implement what you're doing. And, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how it made it its way around. Mm-hmm. Eventually, other Protestant denominations started to pick it up, and Presbyterian, Episcopalian. And so it just became a thing now where you get to ship your kids off, hopefully, and they get to learn a couple things. So Vacation Bible School actually does a few things for us in addition to just giving the parents a break. That first of all, that's a huge benefit. Like
a break, usually at no cost.
You cannot be around your kids all the time. So, no, I'm
people are going to be amening into their Bluetooth. So, like, Lord, have mercy.
So, as I'm riding home today, listening to my kids talk, they're not talking about anything worth like hearing usually. It's like, and in their world, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But in real world, it's like, this is not worth talking about.
Why are you saying it like they're in some alternate dimension?
Right, in adult world, maybe.
Their concept of what's important is very skewed right now, and I get it. But they need a space to actually explore that and do that. Like, they don't need me saying, that is not a good idea. So you can't be around your kids all the time. You gotta have some place for them to go where they can be kids and not around you.
Okay.
This is my parenting advice for the day.
Okay.
Well, it was a rock of us, so we were going. It like so many things that my mother did make sense now.
Right.
And Vacation Bible School was one of them things. We had just got out of school. Mm-hmm. And I definitely believe that to keep us on some sort of schedule, as well as this idea of going, of putting us in the church on purpose outside of a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I know that was like, you know, she wanted us to be active. She definitely wanted me to be active. And the boys went with me everywhere, my little brothers. Mm-hmm. So I remember Vacation Bible School just not being it wasn't optional. It was like what you're doing.
That's your first
after you get out of school.
It's your first camp. Like, this is Vacation Bible School when my parents probably couldn't afford some of the other camps.
Camp or something.
Vacation Bible School is the camp.
And you did stuff. My aunt was a minister. So I would go to Vacation Bible School at her church. I won't say where. And then and her church was larger than ours, so they did other things. So that we definitely had swim days and field trips and all types of stuff like that. Yeah, that was much better than sitting in the house.
All I remember are all the songs that I learned. I am a CH. I am a CHR. I am a CHRISTIA.
Sing it, Jazz.
Remember that one?
No.
That
I don't remember the songs.
I remember the songs. I remember the food. I remember walking to Vacation Bible School because our church wasn't far from where we lived. And so, you know, me and my three older siblings, we all walked together because camp was my older brother and sister. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, they're like 10 and 9 years older than me. And then one is 3 years older than me. It's like, yeah, so you staying at home with them. Don't leave your sisters.
And
don't leave your brother.
For those who do not know, me and Jasmine have been friends since we was like 8-9 years old. And we bonded deeply over being like shackled to our house. Like
shackled.
Like you ain't doing nothing.
Like you couldn't leave.
Say what? So
go where?
Where are you going? Who? Like I would go over her house. And I think this is why we just enjoy each other so much, because we know, like, sis, we made it. Because I mean, we had parents determined to raise us without sunlight. Like, where you going?
Nowhere to go.
Where you going? But you're not going nowhere, but y'all can go together. We like, we not even going nowhere. Can we go together?
This is really encouraging to me, because I kind of do the same thing with my kids. Like,
you don't let them go anywhere?
No, it's not that I don't let them go anywhere. It's that they right now, they're at the age where they need me to go anyplace, and I don't want to go places.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, no. You know, see, I didn't have an older sibling in the house. My sister had gone to college, she'd come back, but I ain't have it like this. Right. I would go over Jasmine's house. I could play with her older sister. We could get on their nerves, and then they'd be like, go in the basement. We'd be like, okay. You know?
That's fine. We could do that. That's all I knew.
Oh my goodness.
All I knew was.
And so I was just like, nobody has a life like I.
I never knew about summer camp. I knew about sisters and brothers. And then Vacation Bible School. That's all I knew.
And making that part. I don't remember the songs. I remember some of the activities. I will never forget one of the lessons I learned there, though. There was a presentation at the larger church and at my aunt's church, and the guy had a box, like a big gift box, and he was asking all the kids we had met in the main sanctuary, and he was like, if anybody can tell me what's in this box, I'll give you some money or something. And I mean, people was guessing everything. Snacks, food, toys, clothes, da-da-da-da-da. And he was like, nope, nope, nope. And I wouldn't guess because I was shy, but I was like, what is in the box? And he said, in this box is your time. He was like, if I give it out, I can't ever get it back. So that's how important it is. It's the gift of time. I've never forgotten the lesson.
What was the verse?
Oh, okay. I just remember him, you know, he made that come alive for me. And I think it was because there's always been a lot of complaints about time, you know, people being late and or the fact that you're late for something is you disrespecting my time. I remember that kind of playing in the background. So when he said that, he was like, you know, this is the gift. This is your time. You give it out. You can't get it back. I'm talking about it comes up for me in so many different things where I'm like, oh, my time is a gift. No, or if I'm sharing something like for something to endure that was so kind of trivial, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I was just like, that was an excellent lesson to teach me at that time. I wasn't even in high school yet.
I'm glad you appreciated that because this Christmas you are getting a box from me.
I wish you would.
I'll tell you.
I love it. I didn't get anything for Christmas.
I didn't give you any time last year, but you're getting time this year.
That's fine. That's
I'm
fine.
Just saying. That's go fine. Ahead.
So, aside from it being camp, it's important. So first of all, have you ever been to a vacation Bible school that was like overnight or for the week?
No. Never been to an overnight one.
I didn't go to, I don't know if it went, it's kind of. I did go to one when I was about 11 or 12. And it was separated by gender, separated by sex, girls and boys. And I was there for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I've been to a church camp.
Yeah, it was a church camp. But that's what it was for Vacation Bible School at that time, at that age. Okay. It was like a little short little camp trip.
For the preteens, basically?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was local. Like, we didn't go out of state or anything like that. But I just remember being there, and there was, like, Bible. In addition, the same way Vacation Bible School is set up, in the sense that there is going to be arts and crafts.
Yeah.
There's going to be some, you know, physical activity or recess or some playtime. Mm-hmm. But then there's also going to be a dedicated Bible lesson. And it often culminates with, like, some type of presentation or pageant, you know, at the end where the kids are singing, dancing,
or
somebody's getting saved at the end. They're going
to
make sure you make that prayer.
Vacation Bible School,
so this was something similar like that. I wouldn't qualify it as like a church camp because it wasn't theirs, and it wasn't for an extended amount of time. I remember it being much less than a week, just a few nights. But I remember every day it having that same structure, you know, arts and crafts or singing, some activity outside, and then, you know, Bible study and prayer, like for the rest of the night, because I remember them making it a big deal about us getting the gift of tongues and people making a profession of faith. I remember it was I just remember all these things happening, and that's about the last time I went to any type of church related camp
situation.
Vacation Bible School situation or anything. I was like about 11
or
12.
I think I aged all the way. I mean, like I aged out. I was going. And they only lasted like a week, maybe 2 weeks. At that larger church, I think it was like 2 weeks. Or it might have been multiple weeks. Because maybe that was like a camp. But I never did a sleepaway through Vacation Bible School. But as those kids got older, those ended up being the kids that they took on. I know we had a week long activity that they presented. It was like a mashup, but ultimately it was a college tour. And I remember that we had aged into the group that mm-hmm. could go travel and do an activity like that. Mm-hmm. So they weren't trying to make the teens like the younger kids. Mm-hmm. They let us do some other stuff.
So the Vacation Bible School, it served as a way for me to connect with these kids that I really didn't have a chance to in church. Like, so at church, you know, you got to be quiet. Maybe you have children's church. Maybe they didn't really have children's church back then. It wasn't called that. Yep. It was you had to sit in the service with everybody else and get in trouble. And
I was about to say, run the risk of getting in trouble for being a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's tough for a kid. And then Sunday school was short and you had to be quiet and stuff like that. But Vacation Bible School, that's where they would actually incorporate activities and crafts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I could actually get to know the children that were in my age group mm-hmm. at the church. So mm-hmm. it was actually a useful tool for forming community at that age for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They didn't have us speaking in tongues, though. I don't even know why would anyone do that.
I remember that so well because I was just sitting there like,
but kids was doing it, though?
I don't know what they were doing. I was just looking around. And I remember all these hands on me trying to get me to pray in tongues. And I was just like, it's not working. I've always known that wasn't going to be something that, like, occurred in me. Like, that would be a part of my faith practice. I always felt like that just wasn't going to be me because I'm not a very expressive person anyway. That's when it comes to being in church, okay. Like when it comes to praising and things like that, like yeah. I'm not going to be raising my hands or crying out. I'm not going to, you know, I've never caught the Holy Spirit running up and down around the altar. You will never see old pictures of me as a kid or hear stories about Jasmine being young and catching the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues. Like, that's just not me. I'm just way too reserved. I got to be, you know, the Bible says watch and pray. So I'm just
watching
these people, watching the other kids. So, you know, I just, by and large, my memories of Vacation Bible School are rather generic and mild. Like, I just remember these things, but I've recently started thinking about, again, just thinking about, okay, is this going to be something I want my kid to do? Because at the same time, it's like a rite of passage, mm-hmm. I feel like, for like mm-hmm. growing up in the Black church. And I don't want her to miss out on the opportunity to laugh at the memes that are out there during Vacation Bible mm-hmm. school season. Yeah. Like, you know, all the, it's just like a lot of good memories. And I think it is a really important part of like the Black church experience in particular.
I will say that I know Vacation Bible School introduced me to service because,
like, the active service.
Yeah. Like hospitality and how to serve others, because one, my family was already going to do a knock up job of that because we have a hospitality centered family, from catering to, you know, a lot of the elders. When they were working, they were domestics or they were somehow taking care of family or whatever. So I already had a lot of skills, but it laid the foundation for serving other people, especially children. This became the theme as I was aging through that particular church. So even though I went to a larger church sometimes for Vacation Bible School, the one that I went to at my home church, you know, this little small church down on Georgia Avenue, mealtime, this idea of the younger ones eat first, then the older ones will eat. It wasn't always adults serving us. That turned into serving others. I kind of aged into those hospitality ministries or the hospitality service of the church because I have been introduced to it. It had become a responsibility or whatever. And you do that. And it's not, I mean, I probably wouldn't have ever connected the dots. But then even doing our community service, which became a requirement for us to graduate from high school, was about serving other children. I don't think I thought about service like that mm-hmm. prior to being in something like Vacation Bible School. That kind of just drove it home that the children are part of the body. Like, if just like you serve the adults who are a part of the body, there is something about serving the children who could, you know, who are mm-hmm. a part of the yeah. body. So that's where I learned that.
Yeah, you got to teach them. So mm-hmm. eventually they're going to be.
Yeah, it's like it's a soft training. It's a
So those are the
exposure.
Those
training.
Are the better iterations of Vacation Bible School or implementations of Vacation Bible School. Like I've seen, you know, where, you know, it's really church heavy and like a lot of church programming, you have to find a way to force Jesus into whatever the activity is. So like you're building houses out of popsicle sticks and you're inviting Jesus into your house. Like it's like a whole bunch of stuff that really you just it doesn't make any sense. Right. And that's like on the bad end for me. But then the other side is when you're actually, you know, engaging in activities. You know, I've seen stuff where we're doing sports. It's fun. Like games, like critical thinking things and games and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like those service and teaching people how to be, how to treat other people and mm-hmm. things like that. I think that's where Vacation Bible School actually hits its stride in terms of providing value. Also, for me, as a parent now, I see the value in the leveling. So, like you said before, like you went from probably in the house all the time to Vacation Bible School. And then like in me, it was the same thing. I was in the house, then I go in the neighborhood, then eventually Vacation Bible School, then camps and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like you can't go from, you know, being in a canoe at camp to coming back and eating cookies and juice at Vacation Bible School. Like that's part of the climb up. Like when I, like my kids, they want gifts.
Pay,
I'm like, nah,
dues.
We not that old yet. We gotta work our way up to, like, you want a PS4? Like, nah, let's play this paper football for a little while and get you used to, you know, have something that you know how to appreciate. So I think just part of that progression of meeting people, learning things like that. People do a good job, but then I've never heard of this, like, speaking in tongues thing. I don't even know.
Yeah, that was an exceptional experience.
That wasn't a Baptist.
And it's an outlier in my...
Wait a minute. So,
it's an outlier in my Vacation Bible School experience.
Mine were Baptist.
Yours were Baptist. Mine were Baptist.
Mine was Baptist, and then that one was another one.
You probably couldn't get in the Baptist during that. You was probably late registering. Yeah,
I used to go... excuse me. Majority of my VBS experiences are Baptist. Thank mm-hmm. you very much.
But that one was...
It was something else. But I don't know how I don't know that I learned so much about service when I look back on those memories. I feel like I was going through a process that was kind of like, now is the time for you to get more serious about your faith. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, sure, you could come to church and sit in service and get some butterscotches and mm-hmm. maybe volunteer or sing in the
choir,
sing in the mm-hmm. children's choir, things like that. But eventually it's going to get to the point where it's like, okay, now you need to be learning these verses.
Right.
And then we're going to have a discussion about what it means to be a member of this church or a part of this community, like right. as it pertains to your faith. And I also felt like I became really aware that there was this evangelizing part of my faith that I was expected to participate in, even as a youngster, because I remember people being in VBS who weren't necessarily members of the church, but were in the community. Mm-hmm. So they were coming to the Vacation Bible School, maybe, you know, just for that portion of time. Doesn't mean that they were necessarily there.
Right, all the time.
All
yeah.
the time.
Our
Sundays.
VBS served the community. So it was open right. to everybody.
To anybody. Right.
But I think the expectation was that the children of the church would be the backbone of the attendees, mm-hmm.
like
the core
of
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if it was an expectation of evangelizing, but because we were members of the church or regularly going to church, I think the behavioral standards were different because it was like you can tell my mom what I did when you leave here today and with this back in the day. So when you get to your phone, you can pick up your phone on Tuesday and tell my mom what I did on Tuesday. You might not be able to tell Tommy from down the street who's just coming. You know what I mean? You might not have that level of familiarity. So Vacation Bible School was not a respite from this family-based church. I was in that experience with older cousins, meaning my mother's cousins, who looked at me like another daughter, who, you know, so when you say that service piece, of course I learned it because it was carrying over from, you set the table at home, you gonna set the table here, right. you do this home, you do this here. So But it, I was just serving a different audience.
What you think about over there?
So
what you pondering?
We understand that there's things that we learn here that are valuable, that carry into adulthood, that train you to be a responsible or productive adult in some capacity. You form relationships with some of these children, because I remember running into people and remembering them from Vacation Bible School. Like, as I switched school districts and things like that, those are just people that I know mm-hmm. because of Vacation Bible School.
My memory bad. But okay.
Okay.
I'm sure I've met some people.
I mean, I wouldn't recognize anybody now. Vacation Bible School was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But is there a line that is crossed between education and indoctrination for children? So for instance, Jazz, you're speaking in tongues and evangelizing.
That's indoctrination.
It's all indoctrination, I believe, in one way or okay. another. Because, like, I used to have this idea as I got older that Protestants in particular maybe had more of a, for lack of a better term, more laxed approach to educating their children about religion and about their faith.
Compared to who?
Compared to people I knew that were Catholic
yeah.
that had like parish school,
yeah.
parish religion school, you mm-hmm. know, or like their catechism class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, everyone's catechism, but it's like, you know, there was this formal process that was extended and it culminated in you being able to take your like first communion, like, you know, like professor mm-hmm. thing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So I always thought like, dang, that's really interesting. They be knowing all the commandments and the saints and books of the Bible. Yeah. And, you know, like they just be knowing everything. And but me, I know I am a CH. I am a C. You know, and I know my books of the Bible and I know some verses, but it just seemed like they had a better command of that. But then when you think about it, it's all rather like very formulaic, like these are the questions and these are the answers
mm-hmm.
and yeah. this is how you're going to have to follow it as you practice this faith. And while we don't necessarily have that in Vacation Bible School, there it's not like we're necessarily promoting people to ask questions, because there isn't a list of like these are the questions and these are the answers, if that makes sense. So I still feel like one way or the other, there's this expectation that you perform your faith in a very particular manner.
Right. So from the standpoint of teaching children how to be Christians, I don't know that we're really contributing. From the outset, it's like I'm trying to teach you how to be a better adult or anything like that. As much as I'm trying to teach you how to perform or how to behave in a Christian manner, or how to perform Christianity, you know, here's why we do certain things that we do. 'Cause to me, being able to take a deep dive on Sunday school principles have to do with your development, the development of your character. Mm. But of course, we're trying to develop that character with an angle where you consider what God says about you and your character and how he wants you to be. So I do remember there being a lot of instruction about, you know, how does he want us to treat each other? And, you know, not to dismiss it, but I just, for the little bit that I do remember, I know it was a lot of, how do you see yourself? How do you think you're being viewed? And it did not make me feel like I was going to emerge being better at anything. It made me feel like everybody's looking at me. That probably had to do with the type of child that I was. Like, I've always been observant and very smart. Mm. So if you're leading a class, I'm the type of kid you want in your class sometimes, because I'll participate. Because I know the answer, or I've read it, or whatever. That does not mean I'll participate. I like school. That doesn't mean that I like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I'm going to take the lesson outside or whatever. Now, granted, everybody in this room went to Vacation Bible School over 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think some things would be different. I think that the schools, I would imagine they would have had to have adapted for young people who have access to information and technology like they do. Like, you're not going to get away with telling a kid the wrong verse, or because he's going to put a piece of your verse in Google and pull it up and be like, you said 2 Corinthians and you wrong.
Do kids really do that, though?
if they like me, if I had a phone back in the day, I'd be like, oh, wait. So according to this.
I think you're exceptional.
What? Yeah, I would have been on Instagram.
Right.
Butt cheeks. Yeah. When I was a kid with a phone.
Do better today. So, because I'm really thinking that that's, like, again, that's,
I mean,
what
maybe.
I just.
Maybe. I just don't. I'm just.
Even with children having information, access to information, I don't think that faith and religion are being presented to them in a way that they're taught to
question it.
Question it.
Yeah.
That is something, you know, when you hear people talk about things like, have a childlike faith, you know, mm-hmm. suffer the little child, come to me as a child.
I mean,
you know,
be blissfully ignorant and be happy with
the take it at its word.
Yeah.
Take it at its word. So I don't know that we're always encouraging them to question, to as much as we are to recite.
Maybe
recite, get it out the way. This is your safety net. Say this, like,
true.
Say
but
this,
I mean,
pray.
Maybe in that environment, but I just feel like if you have an inquisitive child and you've been cultivating that all school year, you're not getting ready to turn that off for vacation Bible school. They're going to start asking. They might not ask the person leading the session, but I do think they will come and say, hey, mom, dad, I learned this today. And maybe here are my thoughts, or I didn't feel any type of way. You know, sometimes kids are just like over it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was tired, or I didn't really do anything today, or I don't like her. Just like you said, it was the time to really get to know the kids in the church. Mm-hmm. All I could think when you said that was, okay, so I've been feeling like I don't like you, and I'm about to figure out if I really do or not.
You know what?
But that's me,
but
though.
But is that our approach that we've even learned on how we teach religion to our children? Like, I'm much more mindful of it now, particularly because I've moved towards being, I guess, with some, like, separating from the church. Mm-hmm. Like, I still love the community I find mm-hmm. in church. I go here and there,
okay.
You know, yeah. Like, because I want my daughter to know that church is also a sense of community. It's people there. That a lot of people that mean good by you and, you know, want to see you do well and can support you and things like that. So I'm trying to give her certain foundations there. But I know that what I've taught her about so far about religion and faith has already caused her some grief, because somebody busted out with some pronouns talking about God as a he. And she was like, hold up. Pump the brakes. God is a spirit. God's in me. God's in you. God's in that tree. So if you're made in the image of God,
yes.
God can very well be a woman. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, mom?
True blue.
Look, I was like, shh, not so loud. So, you know, and I'm trying to promote that. But even in promoting that, knowing that that's probably better for her, to kind of encourage her to create a faith more uniquely and customized to who she is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that mean? Because that isn't the way I was raised. So it causes me to have to challenge certain things too.
So I think that paired approach is better for the child. So for instance, if you go to a church and the church is basically a literalist church that believes the takes everything in the Bible literally, and there was a flood and, you know, creation mm-hmm. happened this way and mm-hmm. all that stuff, and you believe that and the church believes that, that's all the child gets. There's no room for critical thinking as a child. But the way you're doing is equipping your child to at least pose a question when she's confronted with some different information or differing information from what you've taught her. So you're laying the groundwork for her to say, okay, these are the pronouns that we use for God, that we can use for God as a spirit. And then when someone comes and says something else, then she's forced to ask the question.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sending her for hostile interactions at vacation Bible school.
Well, I mean, you don't remember anyone from your vacation Bible school, so that's not a lifelong right. detriment to her.
I know. So,
and some of this is her nature.
Some of it
so
is just absolutely
fine.
Going to happen regardless
yes.
whether I am having these conversations with her or not. I just remember sending her to vacation Bible. Last year was her first time going to formal vacation Bible school, and I'll probably send her again this year, depending on the theme, or if my mom registers her without me knowing. So, like, I just remember her coming back and just having, because she was there and happy to be interacting with other children, because she was there and enjoying the songs and the music, and, you know, she knew some of the people that were there facilitating the classes and things like that, and she felt very comfortable. She came back with a slightly different tune. You know, like that she just picked up for the sake of, this is the tradition and culture that I was in for this week, you mm-hmm. know, and she was excited about it. And I just was like, dang, like, did I just let her go and be indoctrinated?
But no, so we traverse different cultures all the time. So you go to work and there's a culture.
Right.
You go to a church, maybe there's a culture.
Right.
You're in your family, your home, and there's another culture. And you get used to moving between these spaces. So
right.
If the goal is to help her form community.
Right.
I don't see an issue with that, because you can't have them. I mean, you two turned out fine being stuck in a house, but not everyone is going to be that way.
That's so, right.
So, I mean, helping them, you know, learn how to do this and still equipping them with the tools to actually think through some of the material and form their own opinions, I think that's a great way to go about it.
Do you think Vacation Bible School still has an important place in the Black church, or the church in general?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because the Black church, with the issues that we address on this show, there is a lot of good there. And you don't, some people come, you know, later, and mm-hmm. they, you know, they've done what they do, they live their lives, and then they come back later.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people, you know, start off forming those relationships at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a valuable thing. Like, I look back at some of the stuff that I learned at Vacation Bible School. I may not remember a lot of the people, but I remember
right.
Father Abraham had many sons.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know what I'm saying? I know the books of the Bible from songs that I learned there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Amira, you have this lesson about time.
Mm-hmm.
There's just things that you retain that are good things. So aside from the service that it provides for families who can get a break or just can, you know, have another voice speaking to their child other than, you know, teachers and things like that. I mean, I still think there's tremendous value there. I also think that, at least in my case, I'm more inclined to do what you're doing, where I'm preparing my child before we get there, because I don't want to have to undo everything that they were taught.
Mm.
Why are you earning me?
Because I'm thinking about the good that it offers.
Okay.
I'm trying to reconcile what you're saying about it offering, you know, a sense of community and some benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Undeniable benefits, but then it's still a part of a church that eventually we couldn't find ourselves being
adult members of.
Like, mm-hmm. how do you grow out of that so quickly? Is it because, like, so then what role is Vacation Bible School even like playing? Like, is it just because it is so maybe light on doctrine, maybe because it's just kind of like, maybe they're not being indoctrinated, maybe it's just like a feel good type of thing to do that's age appropriate, and we're going to sing some, you know, non-offensive songs about God and Father Abraham. Like, how does it get to the point of us having such fond memories and, you know, starting off with our faith in this place that we feel really welcomed and good about, to eventually us being like, that's not the place I feel like I can any longer explore.
So I feel like this will change over generations, only because we are talking about our experiences coming mm-hmm. up through those organizations before the critique that we have now. We wouldn't have had it then. We would not have viewed it that way then. So mm-hmm. You all making considerations about, you know, is this how I want to teach my children? Is this how I want to do whatever? I remember, you know, years ago and at a certain time in my life, I was sharing time with a young girl who had lost her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, and she did not go to church.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't go to church with me. She didn't go to church with her grandmother. So I was just like, okay. But she had lost her mom. And my idea of grieving and moving through that and navigating through that, I'm trying to translate this to an 8-year-old. And I realized that I had been equipped with things in my toolkit
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to share with her. One of the things that I wanted to share with her was, you know, you can always talk to God about how you're feeling. You might find that it's difficult to talk to
me or, you know, to this person or that person. But you can always talk to God about what you're feeling. She did not understand what prayer was. Mm. And this is a young child, but this is something that was I was clear on by her age because of how I was growing up.
Right.
Even though I wasn't going to church at the time, prayer still had purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share that with her because you might not ever go into a building, but you being able to communicate with spirit is going to carry you through. So there is value there. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's a hybrid of what you're both been saying, which is y'all just going to have to keep an eye on them just like you keep an eye on them public school or private right. school curriculums, right? Because somebody's going to say something that maybe you as parent don't agree with, but you cannot deny that this does help kind of put some things in the toolkit in a way where children go through a cycle where they're not always going to be open either heart-wise or with their ears to what their parents are saying. Mm-hmm. So here's a different way to deliver a message to say, you know, you might not end up being, you know, running the church, mm-hmm. but prayer does have purpose, mm-hmm. right? You might not call it prayer when you get to a certain point in your life. You might call it meditation or whatever, but there's purpose in me showing you how to, you know, or what that is, or explaining to you how we use that in our Christian life, in our Christian faith. Mm. I took for granted that someone had shown me. So my foundation in it is very strong, despite the fact that I've gotten to a point as an adult where I make my own decisions and I'm thinking my own thoughts and I'm consuming my own information.
Right.
That may be all of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I
yeah, I eight think, and 10, I don't think it's like that.
As I'm thinking about raising my children, I want to give them the gift of being able to find their own way, mm-hmm. like to mm-hmm. be able to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. And for me, that doesn't mean like not exposing them to things. It means right. me exposing them to things. So whether it's what I teach them, I don't want them to just go with what I say. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll teach them what I know. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a benefit, for me, there are clear benefits outside of the whatever's taught in Vacation Bible School. There's benefits there. I can put them there. They can learn a couple things. And then they can start to filter this information through the lens that they have. Mm-hmm. And come up with that is to me that is finding your own way. What I don't want is for them to not know anything and then learn something late. People love learning new things, which is great, but then they love teaching people new things that they just learned. And right. I don't want them to be that person, be like, yo, did you know that, you know, that there was a flood and whatever, and like, and it's this wow moment for them that they could have been exposed to earlier and thought through some of this stuff, as opposed to having that bias that comes with learning new information that you think is just like a secret to everybody, and you just uncovered the holy grail of right, knowledge.
Right.
And so I'd rather just expose them to, you know, as many, not as many, but, you know, things that are not harmful, mm-hmm. and letting them, you know, figure out what actually makes sense.
It also helps them teach. It also helps to teach them how to be respectful to other people's faith practices, yeah. including that of their parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, which is something that I had to learn how to do over time and be, you know, with maturity. Right. Because I always say, like, before I knew God, I knew my mom. You know, she like, mm-hmm. she gave me a portion of her faith to be able to, like, this is how you do. This is what you mm-hmm. believe. This is how you pray. This is how you whatever. So being able to show Jelly like, oh, this is what I do, or this is what I think is important. Now, you may or may not keep this up as you get older, and that's okay.
But this is what I do.
But I'm just at least showing you so you can be exposed to it and appreciate it for at least being important to me.
Yeah.
Because as you encounter other people, as you go along, I don't want her to have that kind of like, you doing it wrong. You might be going to hell. Mm. Something I heard. Just letting you know. You know, and I don't even like, so I don't even want, I remember saying those kind of things when I was like, you know, 10 or 12 mm. and being like, did she say she don't believe in God? Mm-hmm. I got to tell her. Like, and I heard sister such and such said I'm supposed to be letting them know. But even now, Let me ask you this. What would you think would be great VBS curriculum? What would you want to include in a curriculum that your children participated in today?
One thing, like Amira mentioned before, prayer is important. Mm-hmm. I would like for them to learn how to pray. Mm-hmm. I would like for them to learn how to, what, my kids are younger, mm-hmm. but still learn how to read and think through the material as opposed to read and memorize.
Recite and memorize. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I would be challenging them, and no one would send a kid to a Faith Uncut Vacation Bible School. It just wouldn't do that. But if it were me, we would be sitting down with the material and talking through some of the lessons like Jesus did. Like I wouldn't be in the Bible all the time. I would be like, you know, this is how we treat other people. This mm-hmm. is how we, you know, are behaving at school, or this is how we respect the teacher.
I would definitely focus on the development of character. I just feel mm-hmm. like there's so much value there to help drive home some of the points about how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. I would like to see a Vacation Bible School curriculum that celebrates the uniqueness of children, because they're becoming aware of themselves and other people. And it's not about, you know, this is not about agenda mess or anything like that. I'm just saying equip them with the language and with the energy and the courtesy to celebrate uniqueness. You know what I mean? I think that will get them through real school. Okay. When we're talking about Vacation Bible School, we're talking about a week, 2 weeks of engagement at, I would say at the most, because I don't know of many formats that take you through 5 weeks, 6 weeks of your summer. But I just think that if you focus on and self-esteem, like I think Vacation Bible School should be mirroring some of the things that we do in mentoring, which is just checking on the child's whole self, you know. So you perform well academically, but how do you feel about yourself? Or, you know, how are you feeling about changes in your family? Or how are you feeling about growing up, or, you know, new experiences or whatever? And get them talking and open. So
yeah, and if I'm in the Bible, I'm doing stuff like, look, this is how Jesus stuck up for these people. Like, this is how Jesus, you know, took care of the person who was being talked about.
Right. Or, you know, the bullying or right. something like that.
This is how Jesus looked at, you know, boys and girls. This is how, you know, neither was more important than the other. You know, like mm-hmm. I would be taking those lessons, basically womanist theology, liberation theology.
Awesome. Yeah, but making it age appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be dope.
That would be an awesome founder. So people are coming to the Faith Uncut PBS.
Okay, come on.
It's lit. We got happy hour for the parents.
Right.
All right, so Jazz.
Yes, what?
They know, but for the people who don't, where do we find you?
Oh, you can find me and my homies, DJ Blackshaw and The Count, on the Brown Liquor Report. So we're on SoundCloud, we're on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook at the Brown Liquor Report. You can find us on Instagram at Brown Liquor Report. You can find us on Twitter, Brown Liquor Report.
Twitter.
We all out in them streets.
For Faith Uncut, I am your host, Mike.
I'm Amira.
That's Jazz. For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.